570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we keep it going on this Monday. The Barbecue Brothers, as we have
started
this show. David Bassett, live from Arizona, joins us. Yeah, we have to get some t-shirts made up, Dave. Barbecue Brothers.
I like that. And we'll walk in and Fred will be, what's going on here? You, me, Kevin, Ronnie, we'll all come in with those shirts.
What do you want to do? We have to pad up the studio too if we come in with those shirts.
I know some Fred. Shirt guys, Rodney. We can make this happen.
Yeah, we can. But I don't know if we want to do that to Fred though. David Bassett.
Well, remember that one time
the windows and the doors.
You got Fred really good, Rodney, when you told me to buy into the joke where there was a secret staff meeting that he had no idea about. I mean, Fred started to panic right there. Rodney,
you just love it.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Rodney, I have that fun fact.
Okay.
Can I give it to people now, Rodney?
Give us the fun fact.
Before we get into the Lakers
absolutely.
And all that? All right, Rodney. Not a lot of people know that, yes, you were a great quarterback at USC, but not many people know you were as great of a baseball player as you were a football player. And my guy Gonzo, not Adrian Gonzalez, Mark Gonzalez, who is from SoCal and actually worked for the Chicago Sun-Times and actually covered you, Rodney, when you were playing baseball for USC.
Okay.
Tell me if you remember this. He texted me when he heard I was doing the show with you that you could have played third base in the big leagues, no doubt about it, and also told me he saw you hit 4 home runs in a weekend series at Stanford, including 2 off a guy people think belongs in the Hall of Fame, Mike Messina. How about that? Rodney Pete, 2 homers off of Messina at Stanford.
I do remember that. I do remember. Over at Sunken Diamond. I do remember that. Yeah.
Can I tell the other part, Rodney? What makes it even more impressive?
Go ahead.
He also told me that you had a hangover. He knew a friend up there, and the bartender was shocked that you even played or whoever served you, and he said, he's a man's man. See, that is old school baseball right there, Rodney.
See, Dave, when I talked about the transition from football to baseball and how lax and how fun it was to go from football to baseball, those kind of stories are what I'm talking about, Dave.
Oh, yes. You don't get that anymore.
No.
Guys show up at 12 o'clock. They're eating the food in the clubhouse. I'm the only guy that goes out now. I go out more than the players do now, Rodney. That's sad. They're playing their video games in their hotel rooms.
What is up with that?
I'm on the streets of Chicago while these guys are up in their room playing Fortnite.
It was fun times because football usually, even in the NFL, you go in, you travel, you fly in the day before. You have a little walkthrough. You have meetings at night. There's a curfew, and then you get up and you play the game. And as soon as the game's over, the next day, the buses are taking you to the airport, and you're going home. Whereas in baseball, you have those 3-day, 4-day weekends. And when we would go to Stanford or to Arizona State or anywhere outside of L.A., we would leave on a Thursday to play those Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. So, yes, you had to – you had certain friends in different cities that you would go hang out with on the other teams, and you kind of get to know the city and the people, Dave.
In this politically correct climate, Rodney, let's just keep it real. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Not at all having a little fun from time to time.
Will Holly get mad now that I told that story? Will she be upset with you?
No, I think that the reason I married Holly and we get along so well, she understands that I had a life before.
Yeah, you did.
I did. And
I'll sneak you out again, Rodney. We'll go out on Ventura Boulevard when all this is over.
Let's just say, Dave, playing quarterback at USC and playing baseball at USC and in the NFL had its benefits, Dave.
I would say so.
Had its benefits. Speaking of benefits and lack thereof, how you like that transition, Dave?
I like it.
Yeah, lack thereof, no benefit of AD or Dennis Schroeder for the Lakers. Dave, is this a concern because we know the history of AD, and yes, he stayed healthy last year and really was along with LeBron, obviously, the big part of why they won the title. But this AD that is now hurt and with an injury, Dave, I should say, that is a scary one because it could get worse, it could not get better, and tragically, it could be one of those things that is a precursor to something that we saw from Kevin Durant and even Kobe late in his career. Are should we be worried about the Lakers and their situation and their struggles without him?
Absolutely. I don't believe you should just be worried about the struggles, but you should be worried about Anthony Davis's Achilles the rest of the season. You know this, Rodney. Yeah. We just talked about how great of an athlete you were. I mean, if that thing snaps, forget about winning a championship this year or next year until he comes back. And is he going to be the same guy? I know Kevin Durant came back better than most, but a lot of guys don't ever recover and become the same guy that they were before they ruptured their Achilles. So actually, you're the guy to tell us how concerned we should be with an inflamed Achilles, and does that mean it's about to snap?
Yeah, that's the crazy part of it, because it's the Achilles that you don't know. I had two of them, as we talked about. One of them I did have inflamed, and it bothered me in training camp, and I had to get, you know, it specially taped throughout the first part of the season, and it's
tape.
Snapped.
Did the tape help?
Didn't help. But it was tough to practice each week, and I went out and played, but I played, you know, halfway through the season. Well, 10 games in the season, and it snapped. Whereas the one I did before that, I had no indication that it was going to snap. I had no soreness, anything like that. Never heard about an Achilles snapping before. Didn't even feel it, and it snapped out of the blue. So it can go either way, but I think you have to, as the Lakers are doing, err on the side of caution, really, and really slowly bring him back. But that is the fear, because they have no chance of repeating without not just an AD, but without a healthy AD. And we've seen, you know, Kevin Durant actually got the benefit of having extended time off with the bubble and not playing and the stoppage and all those type of things. But we're seeing him, and it depends on what kind of game you have. It obviously affected Kobe because his game was so explosive,
yeah,
and jumping and being that way. And Kevin Durant, although he's 6'11 and can move fluidly, his game is not the highlight reel Blake Griffin dunks or anything like that. It is more smooth and getting to the rim and shooting over people. AD has to explode because he plays both sides of the ball on defense as well. So it'll be interesting when he comes back how effective he will actually be. But do you think it's just that, or is it also the absence of Dennis Schroeder? Because I think he's the one that's kind of left out of this equation. Everybody talks about AD, but this could have been a time that Dennis Schroeder really shines without AD as another scorer for the Lakers, because they're certainly lacking that.
Let me tell you something, Rodney, how the Lakers should navigate both of these injuries. I covered the Shaq Kobe Lakers from the last game at the Forum, the last season at the Forum, all the way up until Shaq and Kobe broke up. So I'm going to take a page out of that book and apply it to these Lakers. This regular season means nothing. The Lakers and the bubble last year showed the regular season doesn't mean anything as long as you get into the playoffs. So what I would do is rest Schroeder as long as you need to, rest Anthony Davis probably until after the All-Star break, maybe even a little bit more, and don't tax LeBron James too much and get into the playoffs. Even if you're a 3, 4, 5 seed, LeBron James, Anthony Davis at full strength, as healthy as you can be at that point, is better than trying to win regular season games. I know we care about Lakers versus Nets, Clippers versus Nets, but at the end of the season, it means absolutely nothing. Who's going to remember the Nets beating the Lakers without Anthony Davis if the Lakers win back-to-back championships? Nobody. Nobody will care. So take a page out of the Phil Jackson, Shaq book. Kobe, different story. He would go with a broken leg. But the Phil Jackson, Shaq management of keeping Anthony Davis sidelined until well after the All-Star break, and then give him about a month to return and get into the flow of things so he's healthy. It's simple. I just fixed everything.
You got a pipeline to the locker room and Frank Vogel and what they should do, Dave? I think you should.
I mean, Jeannie's still friends with Phil. They should call Phil. Phil will knock some sense into them. Be like, what are you doing? The regular season means nothing. You got LeBron James.
Okay, but does it mean anything, Dave, if they take your approach and we're gonna rest Anthony Davis until the playoffs, or just get him to a week before the playoffs so he can at least get some.
I said about 3 weeks.
Three weeks before the playoffs, so he can get some run up to the playoffs.
Yep.
You're resting LeBron James. You fall, but do you want to fall to a position in the West where you're facing, say, a Utah or the Clippers in the first round?
It doesn't matter, Rodney. Showed that last year, how good they are. I know this year it's going to be different because you will have to play in hostile environments. I think the series against Portland would have gone a little bit longer if they had to go up to the Rose Garden or whatever they call it these days. But there's not going to be a full house in any of these stadiums. So even a tough road game is not going to be the same as it would be in 2019. So for me, it doesn't matter. You don't want to drop too far. And when I say rest LeBron James, when you're blowing out a team or you're getting blown out, there's no reason for him to continue to play in the game. Right now, they're the 2 seed behind the Jazz, 22-9. How much farther are they going to drop if they rested Anthony Davis? The Suns are 19-10 at a 4 seed. The Trailblazers are 18-11. The worst team, the Warriors, are 16-15. So I don't care about any of those teams the Lakers would play. They need to have a healthy LeBron and Anthony Davis to make a run at the championship.
So do the Lakers need to really protect LeBron from himself? Because if he's
incredible, he's played every game. It really is. It is really incredible.
It really is. And he's a guy that wants to play. And if he's healthy, he wants to play. But this is not last year where I think they did go out to try to prove a point and take a shot at the Clippers and their load management, saying AD and I are going to go play and we're going to get the number one seed. They've already won the title. They don't need to go out and do that. But how do you rest LeBron? You almost have to put him in street clothes and tell him he's off. And I don't think people would have a problem with it.
When I say rest, Rodney, I don't mean take off games. I'm talking about limit minutes. Limiting minutes is rest. He doesn't need to play 35, 40 minutes a night.
No, I agree with you. But if the games are close, Dave, how are you going to take him out? In a situation,
well, you manage it. You're going to get the
camera. You're going to get the camera views of LeBron on the bench in a 1-point game with 2 minutes to go, going, "What in the world?"
No, he's not Paul Pierce, Rodney. He's not going to tap out like that.
Yeah, but that's a restriction of minutes. We saw that happen with Paul George last night.
That's what I'm saying. He's not Paul George. He's not tapping out in crunch time.
Dave, well rounded. You went NBA to UFC to tapping out. Man, Dave, you're doing it all.
Ty Lue, please, my minutes. I'm 1 minute over. I can't go in with 1 second left. Please.
The Barbecue Brothers are at you. When we come back, we'll hear from our Laker insider, Mr. Bill Orem, AM 570 LA Sports.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword. Bank to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's bank to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, Trev.
Sports.
Everybody, we don't got no time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know this.
Miami Sound Machine remix right here, Rodney.
Yeah, you know this one, Dave.
Come on.
The Ford F-150, the best-selling full-size pickup in California. Visit your local Southern California Ford dealer today or go to buyfordnow.com and schedule a test drive. Yeah, this brings back some memories, Dave. Those of us of a certain age.
Yeah, you know, I dabbled with the Miami Sound Machine. I wouldn't say it was at the top of my list, but I dabbled. Yeah.
It do something to you a little bit.
If it came on at Yankee Doodles and Woodland Hills,
there you go.
When I was about 23, you know, make it happen.
There you go. Let's bring on another guy that makes it happen, our Laker insider and the Laker beat writer for The Athletic and also the host of the Forum Club podcast, our man, Bill Orem. Bill, how you doing?
Maybe he's in the Forum Club.
Yeah, the Forum Club. The Forum Club. You know, Dave, the Forum, as we try to get Bill with some technical issues, but the Forum Club, Dave, I don't know if you remember back in the day, but boy, the Forum Club had, they had some memories, or at least I had some memories.
Oh, I bet you did. I heard a little bit of it. Yeah. I caught the tail end, Rodney. I actually actually saw Kobe Bryant in there with his sisters when he was in his first year with the Lakers. They had to escort him in because
he was young.
He was 18.
Yeah.
I was wearing his jersey. I was like a sophomore in high school. I was wearing his jersey the first year. Or actually, I was 2 years out of high school. Yikes. I was still wearing basketball jerseys. And he signed his jersey for me. That was my first encounter with Kobe Bryant in the Forum Club.
What a beautiful relationship. And we bring him on now. Bill Oram, thanks for joining us, man. We're talking about your podcast name, The Forum Club, and how it brings back memories.
You guys, this is the best intro I've ever gotten because nobody talks this much about my – I don't even talk this much about my podcast, so I really appreciate it.
Well, Rodney used to come out of the Forum Club, and it was daylight.
Hey!
Yeah.
Dave, you don't lie. It was better than any nightclub in town,
yeah.
The Forum Club. It was fantastic. I digress. All right, Bill. They lose 3 out of 4, meaning the Lakers, without AD still, without Dennis Schroeder. If Fred was here, I'd ask him where he is on the meter, and he'd probably still try to say green, even though inside he'd be red. Is there reason for concern or alarm right now?
I don't think there's reason for alarm, but I think there are things to pay attention to. And I wrote a story today that kind of got into a little bit of this. I mean, you can extrapolate some danger scenarios for the Lakers right now. And one of them is you're not very good without LeBron James on the floor. And that is something that every LeBron James team ever has dealt with. But obviously those units are better when you have Anthony Davis to carry the load while LeBron's on the bench. Now you've got the Lakers kind of falling into bigger holes when LeBron's on the bench. There's a great example from their last game in the third quarter. They cut the lead. They cut Miami's lead to 1. LeBron checks out. He sits down for 3 minutes, and when he comes back in, the Lakers are down 10. So what he has to do is basically he has to be kind of a driving force to get them either a lead or close to a lead. Then he checks out. They fall behind again. Then he has to do it all again. And so to me, the concern would be if this stretch without Anthony Davis over the next month ends up taking such a toll on LeBron that he doesn't have enough gas in the tank by the time he gets to playoffs. That would be the concern. But what I would say to reassure Laker fans is that LeBron has never had that problem. Like the idea of LeBron running out of gas has never really materialized at the end of a season. This is the kind of conversation we've been having about LeBron for almost 20 years. Like, whoa, you know, can he do it? And he almost always can. He knows how to self-regulate. He knows how to take care of his body. And you know, he knows how to kind of, you know, pace himself so he's prepared for the end of the season. So I think what you're more likely going to see is rather than LeBron overexert himself to keep the Lakers in the two hole in the West right now, I think there's a better chance you're going to see the Lakers slip down to 4th, 5th, maybe 6th in the West over the next month, and then need to do some work over the last couple months of the season to get back up to 3rd or 4th in the West and enter the playoffs with a lower seed. And then I guess the question is, do you think it matters that the Lakers aren't going to be the one seed in the playoffs if my theory ends up holding true? And I don't think it does. I think in this year, more than ever, it does not matter what seed you are, and especially the Lakers are, as long as they go into the playoffs healthy. I don't see a team in the West that, you know, they wouldn't be favored against in the postseason, even if they were the 4 seed playing the 1 seed. I don't think that the seeding is what's going to determine whether or not the Lakers can win a playoff series.
Hey, Bill, on that line, in terms of LeBron and what we're going to see from him, you look at last night, and was it the other night? I'm not sure what they're all running together, but he gets the steal. He gets the steal at the end of the game, and Alex Caruso has a wide open shot to send it to overtime. And if he steps back and hits a three, he's got a chance for them to win it. How much of it is other guys needing to step up? Because it seems like they're not shooting the ball, and facts will show that they're not shooting the ball very well right now. And guys are getting opportunities, but they're just not. They're not falling, or it's not going through for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better shot creator in the NBA than LeBron, right, in terms of creating opportunities for teammates. And, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because I thought we were going down the path of whether or not LeBron should have taken the shot at the end of the game, whether he's too unselfish. And I kind of thought we'd put that one to bed, you know, 15 years ago. So I'm glad we're not having that conversation. This has been a problem. The Lakers started the season, the first month, red hot from three. KCP was shooting like 47%. Kyle Kuzma was shooting close to 40%. LeBron was shooting a career high percentage. And Alex Caruso led the league in three-point percentage for a while. That's all fallen off. You know, they're down near the bottom in three-point shooting over the last month. That's a problem for any LeBron James team. In order to be successful, has to have great shooting around him. That has been the recipe to success with LeBron's championship teams over the years. The Lakers developed into a great three-point shooting team by the end of the playoffs last year. They were hot at the right time, and so I think that in order for this team to repeat, they're going to have to figure it out from three. But I mean, I guess the thing is, things tend to return to the mean. KCP is not going to be a 0% three-point shooter, which is what it feels like he's been over the last month. You're gonna have Wesley Matthews shooting the ball better. You're gonna have Anthony Davis who has a good three-point shot when he elects to use it. So I think the Lakers are going to be fine. I think they're going to recover from this stretch, but it is getting into a point where it's a large enough sample size that you're starting to worry, because it's really been since the beginning of January.
Bill, since we have avoided trade talk so far, I want to bring that up. is there any other Clutch Sports clients out there that can help the Lakers? Because that's who they like, right?
Let's see, Clutch clients. Well, Draymond Green didn't seem too happy the other night. But the Lakers, I don't know that I see the Lakers making anything any sizable disruptive moves to this roster. I know, people are interested in Andre Drummond. The Lakers would have to, send a lot out to bring back a player like that, a player who's making that kind of money. And I just don't see them taking three or four pieces out of this lineup to bring back one player. I know I think you could definitely argue that there's issues with the front court. Marc Gasol has been, I think a disappointment so far this year. And so, could you get an upgrade at center, or even just bolstering your depth? There's been some thought that, Blake Griffin would make sense if he gets bought out in Detroit. And I think that's where you're going to see them be the most active, is on the buyout market. When you see guys get out of their previous situations. The Lakers had one of the best buyout pickups, in memory last year with Markieff Morris, and his contributions in the postseason as a role player. So I don't think we're going to be talking about the Lakers adding another, starter caliber player this year, but you could see them add, a third center or somebody who can come in certain matchups and make a difference. But the Blake Griffin thing is definitely interesting. I know also there's been some question about DeMarcus Cousins, who's on his way out in Houston. Obviously the Lakers have a relationship with DeMarcus, and he was really well liked.
How many games did he play last year?
Zero, but he was really well liked, and he's getting a championship ring for being well liked. But the point is, the Lakers liked him. I do not think there's a fit this year. I would be just astonished if they brought DeMarcus Cousins back, because he doesn't fit what they need in the front court.
I was telling Rodney they should go the Shaq route and rest Anthony Davis up until a month before the playoffs. Do you believe that they may go that route, and how concerned are they about his Achilles snapping?
I think the dialogue out of the Lakers organization has been that they think he'll be ready to be back on the court in a month. And so that includes like all his ramp up and the necessary practices to get himself, back up to speed, physically. So I think right now they don't seem to be that concerned about it, because I think if you're talking about an Achilles, that actually seems to be a fairly aggressive timeline. So if he's back on the floor in March, I think that's an indication that they have 100% confidence in his calf and that tendon area. Because listen, you're talking about a 27-year-old player who's in the first year of a 5-year maximum contract. The Lakers are not screwing around with him this year in any way, shape, or form. So I think, if there's any concern about the Achilles actually being at risk, I don't think they'll be putting him out there. And the fact that they gave a timeline, by the way, I thought was telling. Because if this was something that they wanted to be extra cautious with and didn't want to create any expectations, you know, they would say he'd be reevaluated in a month, or they'd say 4 to 6 weeks, something like that, and then over deliver right on that timeline. The fact that they said they think he's gonna be ready to go in 4 months, and now granted it's an estimate, you know, and it's always couched a little bit, but I thought it was really telling that they actually provided a timeline, which to me speaks to the confidence they have that he's gonna be ready to go at full strength.
Our insider Bill Orem joins us. He's also the host of the Forum Club podcast, which we know and love, and had to bring back a bunch of memories. Bill, so we talk a lot about AD being out and what that means. How big a difference is Dennis Schroeder being out, and is this a missed opportunity for him to get to get more minutes, but also to kind of be that other scorer that they seem to be missing right now?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is the Lakers played one game with Schroeder after AD was ruled out for, you know, the long term, you know, or it's not that really a long term injury, but for the next month, and Frank Vogel staggered LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder's minutes the same way that he used to stagger LeBron and AD's minutes, meaning either LeBron James or Dennis Schroeder was on the court for the entire game at Minnesota. And you could see that he was basically sort of setting up Dennis Schroeder to be that second dominant scorer, that second piece of the offense. Well, now with no Dennis Schroeder, the guy that who was kind of filling that role as you know, being the guy who's always on the court if LeBron isn't, is Alex Caruso. And he doesn't do the same thing by any stretch. I mean, he's not a scorer. He's not, you know, he's not going to go get you 20 points. And so, you know, there's a drop off in terms of what the options are offensively for the Lakers. And while this team was designed to have either LeBron or Anthony Davis on the floor at all times, it is much better set up to sustain an injury to Anthony Davis than it is to, I mean, this maybe I'm stating the obvious, than to Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder. Because I think you can get through a stretch without AD if you have Schroeder. If you take Schroeder away, the offensive options for this team get pretty dicey pretty quick. And I think the good news is, and we don't have a firm timeline on Schroeder, but there is still optimism that he'll be back in two more games. And so, you know, for the bulk of this stretch without AD, hopefully you do have Dennis Schroeder and maybe things even out a little bit and you don't continue to crater like they have been over the last couple games.
Bill, the big acquisition for the Lakers in the offseason was not only Schroeder, but Montrezl Harrell, Clutch Sports. I was curious.
Are you represented by Clutch Sports, Dave?
Yeah, well, there's about seven guys on the team with that agency affiliation. You don't usually see that. I was going to ask you about the Lakers and how they feel Montrez has fit in. Is it the way they thought he would? Are they a little disappointed that the defense hasn't been better? Where are they with him?
I mean, I think they're really happy with him. I think he has given them what they expected. I mean, his defensive liabilities are well known, and that's why he was available for the mid-level exception last year. You know, the Lakers aren't expecting him to come in and be the answer defensively in a lot of these matchups. I mean, he's their role guy. He's the guy who's going to come in and get you points and energy at that big man spot. You know, you go back to those overtime games they played last week. You know, they were really sapped for energy. There were several examples of Montrez being the guy who was creating extra opportunities on the offensive glass, getting dunks early in one of those overtimes. I mean, they all ran together after a while, but you know, kind of setting the tone. And I think he's continued to do that. You know, you're not going to probably play him down the stretch in playoff games against the other great big men in the Western Conference. But theoretically, you have Marc Gasol for that. I think if anything, you know, Montrezl Harrell has fit into the role of the Lakers expected for him. If anything, I mean, Marc Gasol's been the disappointment. I know he's a lower paid free agent, but in terms of, you know, him, what he needs to do to kind of space the floor and defend, you know, he hasn't really made as much of a mark as you would have expected. And the shot has started to come a little bit over the last couple of games, and you hope that continues, but he's just looked a step slow out there. You know, I'm going to be curious to see how Frank Vogel continues to use him.
Well, Bill, you've never been a step slow. We appreciate you jumping on, man. Appreciate the insight as always.
Thanks, Bill.
I mean, that's because I never came stumbling out of the Forum Club at 10 a.m.
hey,
then you don't deserve that name for your podcast if you haven't ever done that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Your world champion Dodgers take on the Oakland A's this Sunday for the first spring training game of 2021 season with the first pitch at 12:05. Catch the game right here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports, or stream the game in HD for free on the iHeartRadio app brought to you by Chef Marito Seasonings, the official seasoning partner of the Dodgers. It's not a true Mexican dish without Chef Marito. Visit your local grocery store or chefmarito.com. All right, we broke down a lot on the Lakers. We're going to talk a little bit about the Clippers. And where is the NBA? Yeah, the Clippers. You know, that other team in
Clippers.
L.A.
Yeah.
But I want to get your thoughts, Dave. Do we turn into the soft NBA? Because some of the calls and the flopping that's going on, it's kind of irritating, Dave. We got to get into that,
man. Rodney, they're trying to manage my minutes, so I can't be around for the Clippers segment. Last call, Rodney Pete. Please leave the forum club.
Oh, I love it. It feels good, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Feels good. Look at Rodney on the ones and twos. Feels good. The barbecue brothers are at you.
That's right, Rodney.
Yeah. I'm going to get them shirts made up for sure. All right, Dave. So the Clippers in the game last night against the Nets. And by the way, I do believe, before we talk even more about it, I do believe that the Nets are, if they can stay healthy, and that's a big if because they haven't been really all together hardly at all this season, but they have the makings of a team that I don't think anybody really wants to face come playoff time.
Rodney, when you say they need to stay healthy, for me, the two most important players on that team are Kevin Durant and James Harden. Forget about Kyrie Irving. You can't really depend on him. But Durant and Harden, healthy at playoff time, they can create their own shots. They can create it for each other. Durant knows how to win. So for me, those two guys are more important and no doubt are coming out of the East. And I haven't looked at it closely enough to see who matches up better against that team, but I would have to say it's the Lakers when Anthony Davis is healthy because he can guard Durant.
Yeah.
And he's a matchup problem, and they couldn't touch LeBron. But yesterday's game, Rodney, what an atrocity.
Yeah.
What an atrocity. How can you make that call in crunch time in a game-deciding moment? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
As Chick Hearn would say, you could see that with Braille.
And the guy guarding him, Harden, speaking of Harden, was the guy on Kawhi at the end, who is the king of flops, number one, and is the guy that gets so many calls for him in his favor because he's swinging the ball or, you know, embellishing the rules of a foul, and he's turned it into an art form. It was ironic that he was the guy guarding Kawhi Leonard at the end, and they make that call. And you're right, Dave. It's a call that you don't make. You let it play on, and to decide the game at the end. And if you really look at it, they could have called a foul on Harden before Kawhi kind of pushed off a little bit, and they didn't call that one. So why are you calling the other one?
I know there's a school of thought that a foul in the first quarter is a foul in the fourth quarter, but there was no foul. There was not even a doubt. At that point, the referees have got to put the whistle and swallow the whistle. At that point, when you got Leonard versus Harden in that situation, it was a 50-50.
Yeah.
It was the worst call, Rodney, I have seen in a professional sporting event since the pass interference in the NFC Championship game that cost the Saints going to the Super Bowl and Drew Brees' last chance to go to the Super Bowl. For me, it's on that level.
Wow. Yeah. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And now, Dave, you joked about this, the whole minutes thing. As we watched that game, and Paul George had a big fourth quarter, scored 12, I believe, in the fourth quarter to help bring them back and went to striking distance. And then, because of minutes restriction, it sat down.
Did he have a migraine like Scottie Pippen in 89? I mean, what would prevent you from being on the floor at that moment? And I know a lot of people only recognize Ty Lue as a head coach, but I remember him as a player. Actually, yeah. I was pretty close to him.
Scrappy.
He was a player for the Lakers. He was tough as nails.
Yep.
He would guard Allen Iverson. I know they show Iverson stepping over him, but he had the guts to go head to head with him. And I can't imagine that Ty Lue, I don't want to say lost respect for Paul George, but I got to imagine he's looking at him a little sideways and this minutes thing. Come on.
Yeah, but do you think that was a Paul George thing, or was that just a predetermined thing by the Clippers saying he's not going to go past this number of minutes?
Well, they should have managed it earlier in the game, and you should have made an exception at that point in the game. Or there's the school of thought, like I said, the regular season doesn't mean anything to a team like the Clippers or the Lakers. It just doesn't. That game means absolutely nothing in May or June.
If there was ever a question whether the regular season matters or not, that game by itself should send a message to all the fans, everybody, anybody ever watching the NBA, that regular season does not matter. You're gonna not play your second best player on the team in crunch time because of a minutes restriction. I know there's rules, there's things you wanna, you know, you're gonna kind of guide by, but at some point, don't you just gotta be human and just go play and play the sport? And okay, we know you're on, you know, 25 minutes or whatever it may be, but this is the last 2 minutes of the game. So what if we go to 27 minutes?
Rodney, could you ever imagine a guy like James Worthy, who was the Robin to Magic's Batman, saying, you know what, that minutes limit, my knees are aching, my goggles are fogged up, I can't do it. That would never happen. And our next guest at the top of the hour, Andre Ethier, played through a lot of pain throughout his career. And there were no innings limit on Andre Ethier either.
No doubt. It's just the game is different. People are made different. I'd be interested to get his take. And you teased it, Dave, because I'm looking forward to seeing to hearing Andre and his take on that, among other things. I got something I want to bring up with Andre, so we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you mentioned it, Dave. Our good friend from Arizona is going to jump on the phone with us. We got a lot to talk with him about and get his thoughts on a few things. Also, we're not letting the day go by because we just had the weekend. We got to get our healing process. We got to have the haiku coming up next hour. AM 570 LA Sports.